I cannot think of anything more fulfilling or refreshing than being close to God. Can you? Being close to God, knowing that He's close to me, that He's walking with me through this journey, as I said earlier. I hope you agree with that. And when I first started preparing this series on experiencing God, I wondered if I would be able to find enough biblical support to talk about our five senses related to experiencing God: hearing and seeing and tasting and smelling and touching. But you know what? I was very pleasantly surprised, especially with today's topic, which is our sense of smell. I mean, how do you talk about that, you know? And what I discovered is that the Bible is filled with references to it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Not in our ability to smell God, of course, but in His smelling us. You'll see what I mean. Before we get into this, let's talk first about our sense of smell and how it affects our lives. Various smells can create really good memories in all of us and good feelings in all of us. For instance, for those of you who love coffee, I don't like coffee. I don't drink coffee. I can't really identify with this illustration. But for those of you who love coffee, I understand that there's hardly anything more wonderful than first thing in the morning smelling fresh brewed coffee coming from the kitchen and getting you ready to face the day. And for those who love camping, I hate camping, so I can't identify with this one either, but I understand that brewed coffee over a campfire in the morning is even better than walking into a Starbucks. And if you're like me, and you can't identify with either of those, let's try this one. A pastry shop, just after they've taken the fresh donuts out of the oven. Oh, memories. Feelings. I love that one. Oh, here's one more. The transforming aroma of a sweet little baby right after a bath and being covered in talcum powder. I mean, that is one of the best smells in the world. If it doesn't bless you, I'm concerned for you. But then there comes a time, those moments when we rapidly return that baby to mama, because that sweet aroma can easily turn into a horrible stench. There's hardly anything more awful than that. You don't love that baby less because of that horrible stench. But, well, you know. And perhaps that's a good segue to illustrate how our sense of smell affects our relationship with God. You see, He loves you when you smell sweet, but He also loves you when you smell foul. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't want to hand you over to anybody else when you sin. In fact, He says, come to me. Come to me just as you are. That makes it all the more amazing, doesn't it? Okay, that was the introduction. Let's look at God's Word. Just like so many other things in life, it all began in the book of Genesis, in God's Word. In Genesis chapter 8, just after Noah had come out of the ark, it says in verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed a burnt offering on it. Now, you probably know this wonderful aroma of fresh meat cooking on the grill. Good memories, good feelings. Let me continue. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood? Was it the smell of meat on a grill that made God say that? No. It wasn't the smell itself. It was Noah's contrite worship that blessed God. Here's another one. This is Genesis 22. There's a remarkable story of God testing Abraham, telling him to build an altar and to sacrifice his only son Isaac on that altar over the flames. And after Abraham passed the test, God provided the lamb to go onto that altar on those flames. And even though the Bible doesn't mention aroma there in that story, you can be assured of two things. The first one is that the smell of that lamb on that altar cooking was a sweet aroma to Abraham and Isaac. They loved it. And the other thing is that the smell of Abraham's faith in that story was even sweeter to God. Abraham experienced God in deeper ways than you and I ever have, and maybe ever will. It was obedience-driven faith. Obedience-driven faith in God. In the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we read about a number of instructions that God gave to Moses concerning how he wanted the people then to worship him. And today, we would call them liturgies, liturgical worship. Some of you came from liturgical worship, and you know what I'm talking about. There are all kinds of liturgies among all kinds of churches all over the world, and many people who feel that those liturgies are absolutely necessary to God, necessary to really worship God and experience Him. And most of them came from stories like this one in Exodus chapter 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take fragrant spices, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the testimony of the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you." There are some Christian churches, especially in foreign countries today, where that kind of thing is still practiced very well. I can't quite identify it because I was not brought up that way, but I can identify with it this way. It reminds me of Grandma's house on Thanksgiving morning and all the wonderful aromas coming out of the kitchen when you walk in the door. Good memories, good feelings. In fact, I remember that my Elizabeth had a tradition much like that. She would put a large pot of apple cider on the stove, put some fresh oranges and cloves in it, and she would turn it on and heat it up just before the guest arrived. And she literally told me, "I'm doing that to create a memory, an aroma, a pleasing blessing for the family that they will always treasure and carry with them." I'll bet you have some memories and traditions just like that. Oh, and don't forget Christmas, with the smells of scented candles and fresh-cut evergreens, all mixing with the aromas of the kitchen. Does that stir any memories or good feelings in any of you? Is that what God was trying to do through his instructions to Moses? Create some good memories and some good feelings among the worshipers through smells? No. He had far more important plans than that, all of which found fruition in the New Testament. But we're not out of the Old Testament yet. We'll get there. This is Psalm 141, verse 1. O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you, Lord. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And I'm adding, and all its aromas. God does not want us just to perform rituals and liturgies and traditions symbolically to exalt his name. He wants more intimacy with you and me than that. He wants you to lift your hands to him and pray to him. He calls it a sweet incense to him, a giving of yourself to him. He talks about it all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. Speaking of the aroma of incense, you may have had an experience like this. In my trips to the Holy Land, I was able to go into all kinds of churches from people from all over the world and experience a number of things. And some of them were heavily committed to excessive incense, so much so that it was hard to breathe in there sometimes. And also, I mean, it could be filled with smoke. You couldn't even see because of the incense. I found that to be very unpleasant, frankly. I wanted to hand that baby back to somebody because I didn't enjoy that at all. And while I cannot say this with authority, I am not convinced that that kind of excess in liturgy is actually what pleases God. I came away from those experiences thinking that what actually God loves in liturgically, traditionally ordered worship is that he loves practices that focus on him rather than the tradition. At any level, including ours, our traditions. Have you ever experienced something like that? I think I've shared this story with you before. One Sunday morning at a church years ago, we had two candles lit on the communion table. Somebody opened a side door and a puff of wind came and it blew out one of the candles. Now, the lady who cared for those candles and lit those candles and brought those candles every week almost had a panic attack. And she saw me after the service and she said, oh, when the candle went out this morning, that meant that God's presence was no longer with us. I thought that was incredible. I couldn't believe that she felt that way. Seriously, unbelievable. It's not too hard for some people to worship traditions and liturgies to the extent that they're not really worshiping God. They're worshiping those traditions, thinking that they're worshiping God. It could be true right here with me, with you. Be careful. Don't allow yourself to do that. I think God is much more pleased with profound simplicity of your lifting your hands and your hearts and your voices, your prayers to him. Not lifting your voice just to him, but talking with him. That's true prayer. Talking with God. I believe, brothers and sisters, that's a sweet aroma to God. So, of course, the question is, what is the quality of your aroma? that you live to God when you worship Him? Whether it's here or whether it's at home or maybe in your car or wherever you are, is your worship pleasing to God? Now, here's something fairly obvious. If you stink, people don't want to be around you, right? So there are companies that make a lot of money selling perfumes and colognes and lotions. I'll bet some of you have counters full of some of those good things. But in order for those good things to work well, you first need to be clean. I don't know if any of you can identify with this or not, but I can vividly remember having a 13, 14-year-old son who would come home from school smelling like a locker room. And he would put on some cologne and wash his hands and so forth on that sweaty body, trying to hide that odor. And of course, it didn't work. Here's the point. In order for you to be a sweet aroma to God, you first must be clean. But you can't. You can't. Only He can do that. And He's in the business of doing that, making you clean. You can burn all the incense you want, and you can roast all the fatty lambs you want over a burning fire. They're only symbols of the real thing which came about in the New Testament. And it's a symbol of your giving yourself, all of yourself to Him. I surrender all. I surrender to you, God. Okay, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with stories about bringing a sweet aroma to God in our worship. And yes, they all have deeper meaning and symbolism that point to the New Testament. For instance, listen to this in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. You've heard that verse before, haven't you? Have you ever noticed that word, fragrance? It goes on, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. All those sacrificial burnt offerings and perfumes that God told Moses and other prophets to institute were foreshadows of the supreme sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice was not just to create a pleasing aroma, but it was to clean us up. Hallelujah. It was to cleanse us inwardly so that we are a sweet aroma to others, that they may see Christ and experience Christ through us. We are the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. That's what it says. You are the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. If you want to have a powerful, intimate experience with God, you need to focus on your spiritual aroma. God's sense of smell is all penetrating, it's all knowing, and it's perfect. And you cannot try to cover up your stench before God in the hopes that He will approve of you. You have to accept Him, and you have to allow Him to cleanse you and bathe you in the blood of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Okay, here's another one. This is John's vision in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 6. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers. Your prayers. A sweet incense. There it is again. The Bible is filled with an allusion to your prayers being a sweet aroma to God. When you sincerely pray to Him, brothers and sisters, your experience of God takes on a whole new depth. When you do not pray to Him, your experience of God is like a puff of wind that blows out the candle. Pray. Pray. Now let me stop right there and ask you an honest question. Don't answer it. I don't want to know the answer. Just listen. Have you tuned me out during this sermon? Here's why I ask it. I've been jumping around to all kinds of illustrations. So many different stories in the Bible and so many details that it's very easy for your mind to wander. I get it. Let me attempt to tie a bow on the package for you. I'm reading again from the New Testament, from Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, "Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." That's what it says. He was the fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There is no act of liturgy. There is no worship tradition on earth. There is no prayer. There is no offering. There is no song that can touch the fragrance of what Jesus Christ did for us. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Our closing hymn today is "Jesus Shall Reign." It's often an opening hymn, because it's a hymn of praise, and that's the way we're going to sing it today. But maybe you're like me and you have missed the beauty of the second verse. Listen to these words this way. To him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown his head. His name, like sweet perfume, shall rise with every morning sacrifice. Hallelujah. May our worship of him, may our praise of him, may our very lives be a sweet aroma to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of worship. Thank you for the many liturgies and traditions and symbols and memories and feelings that we hold dear. But Lord, oh Lord God, help us to worship our King totally and not just traditions. To his glory and in his name we pray. Amen.